WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yep, that's me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Thursday, April 11th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Clouds, showers this morning, and then we'll see some more showers this afternoon. The high 61. Tonight, overnight, the rain continues, low 56, and then Friday, showers in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon, high 63. If you're walking out the door with us right now, it's 50 and cloudy in Valley Cottage up in Rockland County, 51 and cloudy in Elizabeth down in New Jersey, and it's 50 and they're calling it misty here in Midtown. So much to get to as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning, a lot happening in the hours since some of us went to sleep and then woke up. There was a wild accident in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. A guy behind the wheel, an 89-year-old having some sort of medical episode. He smashes into all kinds of things, pedestrian, a car. This was on 76th Street and 18th Avenue about 7 o'clock. This 89-year-old losing control. He hits a scooter, a man on a scooter, a parked car, with a guy inside of it, then a pedestrian on the sidewalk. There was a lot of people out because it was a relatively nice evening.
It just went boom. There was a guy on the floor. He was knocked out. Then there was a lady in the car, in the middle car. Her airbag inflated. She was an older woman and with an older gentleman. And then the other car, I don't know who was in there, but I know they pulled somebody out there in a stretcher. But it was like such an impact.
Yeah, total of four people injured, all taken to Maimonides Hospital, expected to be okay. The driver, they again said, thinks they suffered a medical episode, so there likely won't be any charges filed against him. I was sad to see this as I was getting ready for work this morning. Legendary New York City DJ Mr. C has passed away. We don't know what exactly happened to him because he was spinning records, as they still call them sometimes. As recently as yesterday, over at Hot 97, Mr. C, whose real name is Calvin LeBrun, a pretty influential figure in the hip-hop world. He was a DJ for Big Daddy Kane. He produced a whole bunch of work for Biggie Smalls. He was the guy maybe who was really behind the Notorious B.I.G., helping launch his career, his rapper stardom. And he had this Throwback at Noon show that was most recently pretty popular, but had been a well-known DJ for a long time here in New York. He had recently given an interview to CBS how the hip-hop and the music industry had changed over the decades since he's worked in it.
Back then, we was just getting like cassette tapes of the Cold Crush Brothers performing at Harlem World. And these cassette tapes would float all around the city. So that was our email, so to speak.
So last night, his family announced that he had passed away. They didn't, again, tell us what exactly took place. And I can tell you, I heard him as recently as a couple days ago. So reaction pouring in from some of his fans.
He called himself the finisher because he was the man that would close out the set, the party. Mr. C knew that he was loved. He felt that love from our community everywhere he went.
So DJ Mr. C, just 57 years old, sad to hear that. Of course, as soon as we hear something about what may have taken place, we'll pass that on to you. In New Jersey, a lot of people upset. We knew this was going to happen, but now it's official. New Jersey Transit Board members meeting yesterday to decide on that 15% fare hike, and I would have been shocked if they hadn't decided to go in that direction. They did. It was essentially unanimous that now riders, if you ride, whether it be a train or a bus or the light rail, your fares are going to go up 15% come July.
The trains are always delayed anyway, so why are they increasing prices?
How dare they do that and not give us better service?
I'm just going to be paying more like everybody else. Hopefully there's less cancellations and delays.
Yes, so if that's not enough, the fares are going to go up 3% annually starting next year. So you get hit with the 15%. Then next year, which isn't that far away, you get another 3. So that's like 15%. And then they can do it for a number of years. New Jersey Transit trying to make up for this huge budget shortfall.
Their service is abysmal, and they're raising the rates, yet their service doesn't get better.
It is already expensive, so, you know, if it gets to a certain point, possibly would have to look into other commuting options.
So there hasn't actually been a fare increase on New Jersey Transit in 9 years. And this is what they're saying over at New Jersey Transit, is that the COVID money that they were living on for the last couple years, that ran out. And that's what they were using to cover some of their debts. And now they're about $106 million budget hole they just can't fill. And ridership, by the way, is post-pandemic, is still down on New Jersey Transit about 20%. Some of those people just either out of the workforce, or a fair amount of them are just able to work from home. So that fare hike, all 15% of it, is going to begin come July in New Jersey. While we're in New Jersey, the New Jersey Attorney General now investigating the vandalizing of an Islamic center at Rutgers University. This took place sometime yesterday, just as the Muslim community was getting ready to celebrate the holiday of Eid at the end of Ramadan. So the celebration, of course, tainted a little bit by this attack.
The sacred space was desecrated. Art pieces with Quranic verses were destroyed. Palestinian flag was destructed. And it's just a very tough time for students here at Rutgers.
So authorities considering it a bias incident. The destruction triggered widespread condemnation, including from Governor Murphy, who says Islamophobia has no place in New Jersey. That campus has been a hotbed of everything since the October 7th massacre in Israel. You've had anti-Semitic attacks. Now you have these Islamophobic attacks. Islamophobia? No, these anti-Muslim attacks. There we go.
I've received multiple calls and text messages from students, and they're very distraught because today is the day of Eid. It's our holiday. It's supposed to be a joyous occasion.
So they don't know who's behind this.
It just felt like a hate crime to me, you know?
I do have, like, a lot of Muslim friends, and I know that that's, like, just such, like, a horrible, like, act of violence, especially, like, I know it's Eid right now, and, like, they're celebrating, and, like, I think it's just so, like, upsetting to see that people have, like, that type of hatred in their hearts.
And it wasn't the only Ramadan-related attack. Three people were shot at a Ramadan event in West Philadelphia yesterday.
What we do know is there appear to be two factions within the park exchanging gunfire.
Hundreds were at this event, five people arrested, the victims recovering, majority of the people at the event, police say, were law-abiding citizens. A responding officer shot one of the suspects.
In total, we have five individuals under arrest, four who were carrying weapons, as well as the individual that our police officer fired and struck. As the officers start to deploy into the park, they observe three males and a female running, and they stop those individuals, and we recover four weapons.
So they think it's not just a hate crime, but just an ugly attack that happened to take place at this festival. WABC News Time 510. Boeing facing new allegations its planes have structural problems. Lisa Banks is an attorney for a Boeing whistleblower, another one, who says he claims the company's 787 Dreamliner is not safe to fly.
He is alleging that Boeing knowingly took a series of manufacturing shortcuts in the construction of the 787.
Boeing engineer Sam Solofor telling the New York Times these shortcuts caused parts of the fuselage to be improperly put together, which could result in the plane falling apart after years of use. These allegations follow an incident, of course, in January when that door plug fell off a Boeing plane mid-flight.
Boeing is putting profits and production speed ahead of quality and safety.
FAA Administrator Michael Whitaker says last month the agency wouldn't allow any planes with potential safety problems to fly.
I will make sure that we're not approving any aircraft into the system that are not safely built.
One of these whistleblower's lawyers says he was transferred to a different project after raising some concerns and soon found problems with that one as well. Boeing, meanwhile, denies these allegations, says they're untrue. For the third day in a row, New York Appeals Court is refusing to delay former President Trump's criminal hush money trial here in the city. Yesterday, a state Supreme Court Associate Justice took less than an hour, actually, to issue her rejection of what was at least the 11th Trump delay request in the case. Trump has pled not guilty to making disguised hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels from his company just before the 2016 election amid rumors of an affair between the two. Jury selection remains set, actually, for Monday here in Manhattan in what would be the first ever criminal prosecution of a former president. Let's stay on the campaign trail. President Biden, considering whether he has the power to shut down the U.S.-Mexico border, gave an interview to Univision yesterday, said it's unclear whether he has that authority.
There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation.
Comes after a bipartisan deal that gave him the authority has actually stalled in Congress. He suggested his White House, his administration, is weighing an executive order to shut the border.
Some are suggesting I should just go ahead and try it. And if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court. But we're trying to work through that right now.
Of course, he was sitting down to talk with Univision as he's seen that Latino Spanish voters are slowly being siphoned off by a former President Trump. And he compared his record with Latino voters to Trump's.
There's not a fundamental difference in the value set between Irish Catholic neighbors I grew up and Latinos. It's about faith. It's about family. It's about togetherness. It's about have each other's back.
And while we're talking about the president, he had a message for voters concerned about that recent ruling in Arizona that upheld a Civil War era abortion ban. He told reporters that Americans should vote for him in November if they want to protect access to abortion.
It's the 20th century, 21st century, not back then. You weren't even a state.
And former President Trump again says abortion laws should be left up to the states to decide, signaling he's not in favor of any national restrictions, no abortion ban.
Everything about abortion, it was all about bringing it back to the states.
Former president was in Atlanta making those comments yesterday that he says even with the Arizona Supreme Court upholding that Civil War era abortion ban, he says every legal scholar agrees with him that it should be a state's issue.
Every legal scholar, everybody from the Democrats to Republicans, they wanted to bring it back for 53 years, bring it back to the states.
President was in Atlanta for a big fundraiser yesterday, and he's dismissing any reports that his campaign is trailing Democrats by millions in campaign donations.
We don't need the same kind of money that they need. They need more money because they take care of more politicians. They hand it out like it's gravy.
Trump said he had far less money than Hillary Clinton did back in 2016, but he still managed to win there.
We don't need the money that they need. If you remember Hillary Clinton, I had about one-third the money that she had, and who won? I'm not exactly sure who won. The Republican Party has a lot of money coming into it. It's coming in small donations, $61 average.
WABC News Time 5:14. President Biden says he still believes the Fed will cut interest rates before the end of the year. That's what he told reporters after new data Wednesday showed inflation increased in March.
We have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're in a better situation than we were when we took office.
He claims that Republicans have no plan to tackle inflation.
And we have a plan to deal with it, whereas the opposition, my opposition, talks about two things. They just want to cut taxes for the wealthy and raise taxes on other people.
But data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that the 12-month price growth accelerated from 3.2% in February to 3.5% in March. And in a moment, we're going to hear about this feud between Speaker Mike Johnson and Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene. We'll get into that in a moment. But first, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Friday Eve. Good morning, Justin Ellis.
What was your delay there?
I was trying to remember what day of the week it was.
I see. I get it.
Yeah.
It always happens around this time.
It does.
My brain is telling me it's Friday.
Mine was too. That's why I had to think about it.
Well, happy Friday Eve to you as well, Noam Layden. Start here at the stadium in the Bronx. The Yanks dropped their series finale against the Miami Marlins 5-2. New York dropped to 10-3 as the Marlins stopped the Yanks' four-game winning streak. Giancarlo Stanton, he stayed hot though, homered in the sixth inning off Brian Hoeing, his fourth this season. Stanton's home run was his first against the Marlins, his original team, of course, and he became the 15th active player to homer against all 30 clubs. Juan Soto, batting .360 with 12 RBI, had a run-scoring double that cut the deficit to 4-2 in the eighth, but there was no ninth-inning rally thereafter out of the Yanks. Marcus Stroman Gave up four runs, four hits, and four walks in five innings, I should say, on a cool, breezy night. He had not allowed an earned run in 12 innings over his first two starts, so he'll look to bounce back in his next one. After an off day today, the Bombers will pick things up in Cleveland tomorrow for a weekend set against the Guardians. As for the Mets, they got postponed in Atlanta, so they'll have to try again with the Braves early this afternoon, 12:20 p.m. First pitch, Luis Severino set to get the start against Atlanta's Max Fried. In the NBA, Cam Thomas had 23 points. Dennis Schroeder scored 15 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter, and the Nets rallied to beat the Toronto Raptors 106-102. Nick Claxton added 11 rebounds and 5 block shots. Rookie Noah Clowney had 10 points and a career-high 7 blocks for the Nets in their final home game of the season. They finished 20-21 at the Barclays Center. Of course, going to miss the playoffs there. Tonight in Boston, the Knicks return to the court for a 7:30 p.m. tip against the NBA best Celtics. They clinched last night, albeit not playing a game, but they are in to the playoffs. Right now, sit as the third seed out of the Eastern Conference, but are just a half game up on the fourth-place Cavaliers, game and a half behind the second-place Bucks. Dead quiet night on the ice last night locally, but all three teams are back out there tonight as their respective regular seasons dwindle down. The Rangers will welcome in the Philadelphia Flyers for a 7 p.m. puck drop, still tops in the NHL with 110 points with 3 to play, before the Islanders hosting Montreal Canadiens at 7:30 p.m. try to keep their hold on the Eastern Conference 7 seed before regular season games remaining on their schedule. Devils will return to action as well, visiting the Toronto Maple Leafs for a 7 p.m. puck drop. With the 3 games left for Jersey, they currently sit 6 points behind the Washington Capitals for the second wild card out of the East. Time running out for them. And finally, it's that time of year already in Augusta, Georgia, Nome, with today's start of the 2024 Masters Golf Tournament. Spaniard John Rahm is your defending Masters champion, has the third best odds to retain his green jacket this year. American World number one Scottie Scheffler is the favorite heading into round one today, just ahead of Irishman and world number two Rory McIlroy. The first group heads out at 8 a.m. I don't know what time Tiger's going out yet. I know you're really wondering about it. I think it's actually 1:24, 1:25, some a weird time like that. I think he'll be heading out.
He has no shot, does he?
Well, you were saying that he did yesterday.
Well,
he
said that he thinks he has a shot.
Of course he has to say that. But he gets less and less confident every year. Like last year, he was like, yeah, I can't do it.
But meanwhile, when he goes to tee off, that's who everybody wants to see.
Of course, all these years later. Of course, because he's the face of the game. Yeah. Of course. You can, Sid made the argument the other day. He's not the greatest of all time, whatever way you look at it. That's a fine argument to make. You know, Nicholas has more majors. That's usually how you measure it here. But, in recent memory, Tiger Woods is the face of golf. So we'll see how he does starting today. No, that's your sports. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Thank you. WABC News Time 521. Speaker Mike Johnson says an effort to oust him as speaker would cause just total chaos in the House. Johnson defending his leadership strategy ahead of a meeting with Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene. That meeting took place last night. She introduced a motion to vacate the speaker's chair before the House broke for a 2-week recess last month.
She's a colleague. I've always considered her a friend. Marjorie and I don't disagree, I don't think, on any matter of philosophy. We're both conservatives, but we do disagree sometimes on strategy.
MTG went after Johnson for his support for a series of funding bills necessary to avoid that government shutdown.
Marjorie is frustrated by the last appropriations package, the spending bills, and you know what? So am I.
Green also opposed to Johnson's willingness to approve more aid for Ukraine.
Here's the reality that we have to remind everybody, and you all know in the room because you're here every day, but some people back home don't realize. We have the smallest majority in U.S. history. We've got a one-vote margin right now.
The two, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Mike Johnson, had a meeting last night that we're being told did not go well. Now, you can hear more all about that. Congresswoman Nancy Mace from Charleston, South Carolina, she's going to join Sid this morning at 8:45 on Sid and Friends in the Morning to tell you everything you need to know about this controversy between the two of them and, of course, everything else going on in Congress. President Biden calling on Hamas to agree to the administration's new proposed ceasefire with Israel.
Biden made the remarks Wednesday in a news conference at the White House Rose Garden and said it's, quote, up to Hamas. They need to move on the proposal that's been made. The U.S. has been working with Egypt and Qatar to broker a deal between Israel and the Palestinian militant group. The deal reportedly involves a 6-week ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and the exchange of Palestinian prisoners for 40 hostages held by Hamas ever since the deadly attacks of last October 7th. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Let's go over to Oklahoma at 5:23. An Oklahoma state senator pushing for elementary school kids to be taught cursive handwriting. Okay. Senator Kevin Matthews of Tulsa says it would help them read and understand historical documents. Okay.
My own grandchildren, 6 and 4 years old, it would be very disappointing to me that they could not go back and even read things I wrote when I was a child.
So he has co-authored this bill that actually passed out of the State Senate Education Committee there yesterday. Schools would be required to provide cursive handwriting instruction to students in 3rd through 5th grade, so 2 years of cursive handwriting, I guess, potentially. Seems like a complete waste of time.
It's very important for our children of the future to read those things in the past and be able to understand them.
Now, I know there are places where they still teach cursive, but not a lot of them. My kids don't know how to write cursive. I don't think they were taught it. And it seems like there's a lot of other things you could probably teach kids instead of cursive, since nobody really uses it anymore. But I know a lot of people disagree with me.
I think there are many schools that teach it. I just think it would be a shame that some schools don't.
Okay. 5:24. Experts say the summer will bring record-breaking travel numbers. Kathy Nastro is with Going.com, which is a travel organization that follows these trends. And she says nearly 5 billion people are expected to travel around the world this summer, which is numbers that we have not seen, not even before the pandemic.
2023 was really our test case of, are we sort of back to normal? You know, travel is definitely back, and it is significantly more so than we saw pre-pandemic.
In the U.S., over 90% of Americans say they plan to take some sort of trip this summer. Half say they plan to travel internationally. Despite this, many airlines, of course, slowing down their operations due to uncertainty around Boeing planes after the company's problems. That could be a problem for people trying to travel.
We actually have more flights on the schedule as well as more seats available. So this is actually a good thing and good news for travelers.
Traveler Alia Hill had big vacation plans, but she says price remains a big obstacle with inflation. Everything's a whole lot more expensive to travel this summer, even with 90% of Americans saying they're going on some sort of vacation.
You may need multiple jobs or even like a side hustle to afford flights, hotels, food when you get there. Everything does add up.
It does add up. Fans of the TV series Roseanne, or now they're called the Connors, I think, now have an opportunity to live like that family. Their house is up for sale. Of course, that's the theme of Roseanne. I don't know if they use that for the Connors or not. That house that you see at the beginning of the show, I mean, they didn't film the show there, but they filmed the exteriors in Evansville, Indiana. It's a yellow 4-bedroom, 2-story home that was built in 1925. And this is when you realize how things come down price-wise when you leave the tri-state area. The average price for a home in the tri-state area is like $600,000. This house, which is a 4-bedroom home, is that what I said? Right. 4-bedroom home, 2 bathrooms, 2 stories, is listed for $225,000. The opening bell, it rings this morning on Wall Street after stocks closed sharply lower yesterday. That came after the release of last month's Consumer Price Index report, which rose more than expected, pushed inflation higher. If found, prices were up 3.5% year over year in March, while analysts had expected an increase of 3.4%. So at the closing bell, the Dow fell 422 points. S&P 500 lost 49. NASDAQ lost 136 points. Coming up today, we'll get word on weekly jobless claims, with most analysts expecting a slight decline in the number of first-time requests for unemployment benefits.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 5:32. Good morning. It is Thursday, April 11th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Clouds, showers this morning. Then again, we'll see some showers this afternoon, high 61. tonight and overnight, the rain continues, low 56. And then Friday, showers in the morning, but we'll get some sunshine in the afternoon, high 63. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 50 cloudy in Valley Cottage up in Rockland County, 51 and cloudy in Elizabeth down in New Jersey. And it's 50, and we'll call it misty here in Midtown. We'll start this half hour right here in the city. Another squatter story, this time in Diker Heights. Neighbors not holding back when talking about the squatters that have taken over a portion of their neighborhood and how it's impacted their lives. One neighbor says that a squatter went as far as destroying his security cameras that he had set up around his house. So it's all about this one house in the neighborhood that has been boarded up, has been set on fire, has been boarded up, has been set it on fire, all by these squatters. And these people in the neighborhood have called upon the city to help get these squatters out, and they've gotten zero help.
So I just don't understand what we should do now.
And there were like five of them that we recognized that consistently came back.
But now it's getting worse. You see, I have kids, I have my parents, but I not feel comfortable already, reality.
According to New York City's squatter laws, if the squatter can prove they lived in the home for over 30 days, they can claim rights to the property. There's a lot of problems with these laws here. In order to remove them from the property, the homeowner needs to go through the court system. But in case of this one house in Diker Heights, apparently it had been abandoned, then people had moved into it. It's all confusing, but either way, these neighbors have asked the city, hey, get rid of these people. They're ruining our neighborhood.
Everyone in the house was woken up to get evacuated by some firefighters. And I think the fire went on for like 2 hours. After that, they cemented up the house, but they somehow found a way to start another fire. They built a little shack in the back, and there was a guy that was living in there for a while until he started another fire inside that little shed.
Yeah, can you imagine you move your family into this neighborhood, or maybe you've lived there for a long time, you're paying taxes, trying to protect your property, and then you have these people next door who don't care about the neighborhood, don't care about you, and there's nothing you can do about them.
Not gonna be stopped. Imagine someone burned some property 2-3 times, and then he's still back to the neighborhood. And then, no matter what you call fire department, housing department, police department, and no one can help you.
So where's the protection for these homeowners? It doesn't seem like it's there anymore. Mayor Adams speaking out at a press conference yesterday against the rise in squatters across the city.
This is an issue generating headlines and concern for New Yorkers, as there's a loophole in city law. It gives squatters rights to people who occupy a property for 30 straight days, even if they don't own the place or have a lease or aren't paying rent. Lawmakers want to define squatters as trespassers.
I know people who've been on vacation for 2 months during the summer. So you find out that they're on vacation, you go in their house for 2 months, now you own their home, that don't make no sense.
Earlier this year, a Queens woman was arrested for changing the locks to her home that had been occupied by squatters. A house overtaken by squatters in Diker Heights was burned down. James Flippin for 77 WABC News.
There are some lawmakers, by the way, in Albany, state lawmakers, who say they're going to take this up. But so far, like those poor people in Diker Heights, nobody's there to help them. Out on Long Island, a mother arrested yesterday for leaving her 2 kids unattended in a car while she went grocery shopping in Valley Stream. She went into the store, Green Acres Mall. Now, the kids she left behind, they were awfully young. A 1-year-old and a 3-year-old left alone in this Mercury sedan. Lots of people who were in this shopping center, which there was always a lot of people in, noticed the kids in the car, and they called the cops.
You can't leave children in the car.
No, I don't care how fast, what you got to do, whether you don't have a babysitter or whatever. Kids are not supposed to be left in the car.
It's sad. I hate to criticize any mom, but it's sad. It's dangerous.
Children were taken to the hospital to be checked out. They're okay. They were just left alone. Police have not released the name of the mother and exactly what may happen to her. But, of course, now they're warning her that it's probably not a smart idea to leave a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old alone in a car while you go grocery shopping. WABC News Time 539, a group of students filing a lawsuit now against Cooper Union after that very tense pro-Palestinian rally at the school last October. You might remember this. These Jewish students were in the library, and these Palestinian students surrounded the library, started banging on the glass doors, chanting outside. So they have hired attorney now, saying that they are not being protected at Cooper Union.
Their policies provide that they will
have a safe environment that's non-discriminatory for their students, for all students. And Jewish students have a right to an education that's safe, not hostile, and free from discrimination and harassment, and they're not getting that.
Back in October, NYPD officials, officers, they were on the campus for the duration of the rally at the school's request, and the students were barricaded essentially in this library for a period of time. The Cooper Union, by the way, is one of several schools nationwide being investigated by the United States Department of Education for incidents of alleged anti-Semitism on campus. While we're talking about Jews, we'll talk about the million eggs donated to a food pantry that aims to feed hundreds of thousands of hungry New Yorkers. Now, there is, I know people will push back against this myth that all Jews have money and are wealthy. But there's a lot of Jews, especially in New York City, who don't have a lot of money at all. So the Passover holiday's coming up, and there's this pantry that has opened up in Flatbush that will help deliver Passover food, which could be a lot more expensive than food during the regular part of the year, to these families who don't have a whole lot. The boxes that are being handed out to these families contain everything from chicken and canned goods to juices and eggs and all these other Passover foods. Passover is in, 12 or 11 days. So this food drive, they gave about 250 packages away yesterday.
We procure and provide those specialty items to make sure that no one has to choose between celebrating the holiday and their faith and having enough money to buy food.
Part of the people involved in this is the Met Council on Jewish Poverty. There'll be about 30 of these giveaways done in the coming days to Jewish families across the city. Did you know that your driver's license might be suspended and you don't even realize that it is? We got this warning from the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles. Thousands of driver's licenses have been suspended for people failing to submit a vision test. We had to go back to March of 2020. So between March of 2020, right, during the pandemic, and August of 2021, because of the pandemic, the state DMV allowed drivers to self-certify their vision to renew their license as long as they agreed to submit a vision test within a year. Well, lots of people either forgot or decided just not to do it. So the deadline to submit that vision test has come and gone. 45,000 licenses were suspended in December. Now, a fair amount of those people, well, about 9,000 of them, have now submitted their vision test. But the DMV says there's still 36,000 drivers in New York that are driving around, probably most of them don't even realize it, with a suspended license because they never handed in that vision test. You know, you can go to MyMDV, the New York State Division of Motor Vehicles website, and check out to see if you're one of those people who might have just forgotten to submit that and are driving around on a suspended license, because you don't want to be pulled over with a suspended license. That does not end well for most people. 543, we're watching on as police are warning us about a robbery spree across the Bronx in Upper Manhattan. These violent interactions where we don't know if it's all one person or just a couple of people, but they do think all of these crimes are connected, where someone shows up with a gun face to face. One or two robbers have taken all kinds of things from people. It started back in March and in the Bronx and in Washington Heights. Eight robberies in all. Here's some of the people who were robbed, or I think this is one of them anyway.
They just saying that they were going to kill me if I don't give them the money. You know what I mean? And they make me kneel with a pistol, you know, pointing on my head. Of course it was. Of course, I thought I was going
to
die.
Yeah, that's very intense to have a pistol, a gun pointed at your head, telling you to hand over whatever it is that they want. They've scored all kinds of things in these eight robberies, including electric bikes, AirPods, clothes. The biggest score was $1,300. And people in the neighborhood hearing about this, you know, rightfully so, a little freaked out.
That's very important because then it could happen to me. You know, it could happen to somebody else again. That's very scary.
So there is a picture of one of the wanted robbers jumping the turnstile at a subway. We're going to put that up at WABCRadio.com so you can take a good look at it. Meanwhile, people in the neighborhood are being told, you know, just watch out.
That's unfair that somebody tried to take something from other people that cost them effort and money to do that. So
yeah, well,
it's not fair.
That's what robbery is all about. It's not fair. 545, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noah Mulladen. Start at Yankee Stadium here in the Bronx. The Yanks dropped their series finale against the Miami Marlins 5-2. New York dropped to 10-3 as the Fish stopped the Yanks' four-game winning streak. Giancarlo Stanton homered in the sixth inning off Brian Hoeing, his fourth this season. Stanton's home run was his first against the Marlins, his original team. He became the 15th active player to homer against all 30 clubs. Juan Soto, batting 360 with 12 RBI, had a run-scoring double that cut the deficit to 4-2 in the eighth, but there was no ninth-inning rally this time around out of the Yanks. Marcus Stroman gave up four runs, four hits, and four walks in five innings on a cool, breezy night. He had not allowed an earned run in 12 innings over his first two starts, so he'll look to bounce back in his next one. After an off day today, the Bombers will pick things up in Cleveland tomorrow for a weekend set against the Guardians. As for the Mets, they got postponed in Atlanta, so they'll have to try again with the Braves early this afternoon at 12:20. Luis Severino set to get the start against Atlanta's Max Fried. In the NBA, Cam Thomas had 23 points. Dennis Schroeder scored 15 of his 21 points in the fourth, and the Nets rallied to beat the Toronto Raptors, 106-102. Doesn't matter, though. They're not going to be in the playoffs. Tonight in Boston, the Knicks return to the court for a 7:30 p.m. tip against the NBA best Celtics. They clinched yesterday, although albeit not playing a game, but they currently sit as a 3 seed out of the Eastern Conference. Just a half game up on the 4th-place Cavaliers, a game and a half behind the 2nd-place Bucks. Dead quiet night on the ice last night locally, but all 3 teams are back out there tonight as their respective regular seasons dwindle down. The Rangers will welcome in the Philadelphia Flyers for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Still tops in the NHL with 110 points at 3 to play. Before the Islanders host the Montreal Canadiens at 7:30, try to keep their hold on the Eastern Conference 7 seed with 4 regular season games remaining on their schedule. Devils will return to action as well, visiting the Toronto Maple Leafs for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Time running out for them, 3 games left for Jersey. They currently sit 6 points behind the Washington Capitals for the 2nd wild card out of the East. Finally, it's that time of year already in Augusta. Hello, friends, with today's start of the 2024 Masters Golf Tournament. Spaniard John Rahm is your defending Masters champion, has the 3rd-best odds to retain his green jacket this year. American world number 1 Scottie Scheffler is the favorite heading into round 1 today. The heavy favorite, I might add, just ahead of Irishman and world number 2 Rory McIlroy. The first group heads out at 8 a.m. I think Scheffler's like plus 400 or something like that, and then McIlroy's up next at like plus 1,000, I think. So
fake news.
That's what I'm saying. God. What's John Rahm doing on that list either? Isn't he a live golfer? No?
I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, but come on. You got to let these guys play in these days. You got some of the best players in the world on live golf. They got to play in the Masters. So we'll be watching those three this weekend. First tee time today, 8 a.m. Nome, Tiger Woods, early afternoon tee time, right around 1:30. That's your sports. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 5:49. Several people injured last night. 89-year-old driver suffering a medical episode, crashed his car into pedestrians' vehicles. This was in Bensonhurst at 76th Street and 18th Avenue, losing control, striking a man on a scooter, this driver did, a parked car that had a 20-year-old man inside, and he also hit a pedestrian on the sidewalk. It was a beautiful night last night, so a lot of people were out.
There was a guy on the floor. He was knocked out. Then there was a lady in the car, in the middle car. Her airbag inflated. She was an older woman and with an older gentleman. And then the other car, I don't know who was in there, but I know they pulled somebody out there in a stretcher. But it was like such an impact.
4 people in all injured, all taken to Maimonides Hospital. The good news is they're all expected to recover. Police, again, saying that driver suffered a medical episode. Not clear if he'll face any charges. Was sad to see this. Legendary New York City DJ Mr. C. Do you know him? He was on all the hip-hop stations in the city and has been around just forever. He passed away very suddenly yesterday. Influential figure in the hip-hop world. Was a DJ for Big Daddy Kane. He produced work for Biggie Smalls, definitely instrumental in Notorious B.I.G.'s career, and just suddenly passed away. At least that's what we're being told. He was on the air as of even just a couple days ago. Recently, he had given an interview to CBS on the 50th anniversary of hip hop and was reflecting on how music and culture has changed over the decades.
Back then, we was just getting like cassette tapes of the Cold Crush Brothers performing at Harlem World. And these cassette tapes would float all around the city. So that was our email, so to speak.
After his family announced his death yesterday, reactions just pouring in from the music world, from fans.
He called himself the finisher because he was the man that would close out the set, the party. Mr. C knew that he was loved. He felt that love from our community everywhere he went.
Yeah, great listen. Mr. C, he was only 57, so we don't know his cause of death. Of course, as soon as we hear, we'll pass that on to you. In New Jersey, transit riders, if you ride the train, the light rail, the bus, you're definitely going to pay more now. The New Jersey Transit Board giving the green light to a 15% fare hike, which is a lot, come this summer, July.
The trains are always delayed anyway, so why are they increasing prices?
How dare they do that and not give us better service?
I'm just going to be paying more like everybody else. Hopefully there's less cancellations and delays.
It is the first fare hike, though, in 9 years, which is a pretty long time. It'll be followed up, though, by 3% fare increases annually starting next year. New Jersey Transit just has this huge budget hole to fix.
Their service is abysmal, and they're raising the rates, yet their service doesn't get better.
It is already expensive, so, you know, if it gets to a certain point, possibly would have to look into other commuting options.
You know, whenever I listen to these people complaining about it, does anybody ever compliment public transit? Most days it does kind of work, but when you ask somebody, they'll always tell you how it doesn't work, so that's why you're hearing from those people. There, again, has not been a fare increase in 9 years. COVID money was helping New Jersey Transit out for the last couple years, but that money's run out. Low ridership now, it's off by 20% post-pandemic. 20% less people have returned to New Jersey Transit, so that's hurting them as well. So they have a $106 million debt hole they need to fix, and that's why they're going to raise those fares beginning in July. Watching on at Rutgers University, an unfortunate attack at the Center for Islamic Life on the New Brunswick campus. This happened sometime early yesterday. The Muslim community celebrating Eid, the end of Ramadan, which is a time of celebration, so awful time for this to happen.
The sacred space was desecrated. Art pieces with Quranic verses were destroyed. Palestinian flag was destructed. And it's just a very tough time for students here at Rutgers.
Now everybody trying to figure out who's behind it.
I've received multiple calls and text messages from students, and they're very distraught because today is the day of Eid. It's our holiday. It's supposed to be a joyous occasion.
Man, it sure looks like it's a hate crime.
It just felt like a hate crime to me, you know?
I do have, like, a lot of Muslim friends, and I know that that's, like, just such, like, a horrible, like, act of violence, especially, like, I know it's Eid right now, and, like, they're celebrating, and, like, I think it's just so, like, upsetting to see that people have, like, that type of hatred in their hearts.
Yeah, you wonder about that. Police in New Brunswick trying to figure out who's behind that. New York City going to make moves to fight package theft. The city has installed lockers on public sidewalks at 7 locations with more to come. This is all due to the surging number of porch pirates across the city. If you're anybody who has Amazon or any kind of other package delivered to your home, my guess is you've had at least one that has gone missing.
When you look at the surge of at-home deliveries, you're also looking at the surge of theft. Almost 90,000 packages being reported stolen or lost every day.
That's Mayor
in
Adams.
This city.
Oh, sorry, Mayor. That's Mayor Adams. The lockers are free to use 24 hours a day, can be managed online to send and receive packages, are able to securely hold 25 packages at a time. But a lot of people will say, okay, that's great that you're doing this, but how about fixing the problem of people stealing off of porches? Because the whole convenience of having a package sent to you is you don't have to walk anywhere to get it. Now, these lockers, there's only so many of them they can set up across the city.
Locker NYC, a pilot program to help combat package theft and reduce delivery truck traffic in our city. So win-win when you think about it.
But Mayor, that fixes the problem right now, but let's fix the problem of people stealing stuff off of people's porches.
The program is available to all New Yorkers 24/7, and it is the favorite four-letter word of New Yorkers, free.
Okay.
Locker NYC will also allow carriers to make fewer truck trips, so it's great for our environment, reducing the time delivery trucks are on the road and reducing emission.
All right. 5:56. It is a special time of year for those who love cherry blossoms. It's this really short window. I have this beautiful cherry blossom tree in front of my house. I can't tell you, every year this happens, people stop and they take pictures in front of it when the blooms explode. And it only happens for a short window, maybe a week or two. And that's what's happening in Branchbrook Park in Newark. If you've never been there for the Cherry Blossom Festival, which is in full swing, I highly recommend it. It is the largest amount of cherry blossom trees in one place on the East Coast. Lots of people think of Washington, D.C. for the Cherry Blossom Festival. This festival is way larger.
I mean, it's not difficult to create something beautiful when you have nature that's so beautiful.
It's absolutely stunning.
Gorgeous. Do it again in a second.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it, it's really worth the visit. They have 5,000 cherry blossom trees. And again, that window of seeing them is really short. In fact, they're having a festival. So if you go there, there's all kinds of food trucks and activities going on.
And it's miraculous. We appreciate all the beauty of nature and all the beauty that God created.
It's definitely a challenge to capture the moment.
Branchbrook Park, by the way, runs from Belleville through Newark. I can't highly recommend it more.